So if you take your Bibles and you turn to Revelation chapter 1, we're going to consider the subject of the Lord's Day. And what I did was, when looking at this particular phrase, the Lord's Day, I went to some Christian sites and I went to Wikipedia, which is an encyclopedia online that you can find out all kinds of stuff about. And one of the things that Wikipedia wrote with regards to the definition of the Lord's Day is that the Lord's Day is one of the traditional Christian names for Sunday, the first day of the Judeo-Christian 7-day week, observed by most Christians as the memorial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is said in the four canonical Gospels of the New Testament to have taken place early on the first day of the week. Very early in the history of Christianity, this is still the quote, the tradition of Christ's Sunday morning resurrection gave rise to the Christian custom, later to become an obligation, of gathering every Sunday morning to worship the Christian Lord Jesus. Hence the name the Lord's Day. That's what one reference writes with regards to what exactly does the phrase the Lord's Day mean. Now, you're in Revelation chapter 1, and beginning in verse 9, we read, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on, now here's our phrase, the Lord's Day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So, under Domitian's reign, if that's his name, he was a jerk anyway, who lived from reigned from 81 to 96, he had John banished to the rocky Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. And there was hard labor camps going on at that particular time. It was in a quarry. And here, according to the scripture, we see that John received this revelation of the Acropolis, the Book of Revelation, on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, according to verse 10. Now, according to the article I read from Wikipedia and other Christian sources, the Lord's Day was the first day of the week. Some Christians develop the Greek and the Septuagint of the Old Testament to prove this point with a particular word. And I looked at that, at their study and how they arrived at that. Nonetheless, scripture must support this theory if we're going to consider it as valid. And the theory that we're considering now is the Lord's Day Sunday. Is the Lord's Day Sunday. And is the first day of the week synonymous with Sunday and with the Lord's Day? If you take your Bibles and you go to John chapter 1, what I would like to show you from the scripture is that God is smart enough and big enough to define his terms in his word. And he does this all throughout the scriptures. And he does it in a very simple way that not even a child need to err with regards to the scripture and the truth that it's trying to present. If you have a heart to want to know the truth and you take the time to apply yourself, God will teach the plowboy. He'll teach the most common person. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a real smart person. Because what I've found throughout the years that many times real smart people complicate the Word of God. They try to dominate you with their knowledge so that they can control you. In John chapter 1, verse 40, the scripture reads, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon," Andrew. He went and found his own brother Simon, "and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." All right. So Andrew says to Simon, he says, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." Here we see how the word defines itself. In verse 41, we have the word Messiah. The word Messiah is the Greek form of the word Messiah. Then the rest of the verse goes on to inform us, which is being interpreted the Christ. So here we have a valid interpretation and statement of truth to base the fact that the Messiah and the Christ are the same. Messiah is simply another way to say Christ. You see how simple that is and easy that is? And we're considering, again, the topic of the Lord's Day, Sunday, first day of the week. But here we see that God does and can give definitions and understanding where two different names mean the same thing. Messiah also means what? Christ. Let's go on, verse 42. "And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Here again we see the same truth repeated. Jesus said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah." This is a plain statement of truth. Then he went on to say, "Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation what? A stone." Here again we see that Simon, son of Jonah, was also called what? Cephas. So it would be biblically accurate to say Cephas was another way of saying Simon, son of Jonah. And in fact, that we are referring to the same person. You see how the Word of God defines itself? You don't need any Greek. You need no Hebrew. All you have to do is know how to read English and understand. It's very simple. John chapter 9, please. And what I'm beginning to develop for you is to simply show you that God has within His ability to explain phrases in His Word. And He doesn't need man to do it for Him. As a matter of fact, it would be a good idea if man would line up with what God says. In John chapter 9, verse 7, we read, "And said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," parentheses, which is by, John 9, 7, which is by interpretation, what? Sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came, what? So, it would be honest and biblical to say that the pool of Siloam can also be interpreted by the name sent, right? Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 4. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Latter part of the verse, Luke 2, 4. "Unto the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem. So biblically, if I said the city of David and Bethlehem are the same, I would be accurate because I have the Word of God to back me up. John chapter 11, please. John 11, verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. But we know that that didn't come to pass. Then said Thomas, which is also, or which is called what? Didymus. So it would be accurate for me to say Thomas, who was also called Didymus, or that's talking about the same person, correct? The verse tells us that. Acts chapter 13, please. Acts 13, look at verse 9. You guys know this one. Acts 13, 9, then Saul, who also is called what? Paul. Okay, we know the Hebrew and the Greek rendering of it. But I would be accurate in saying Paul is equivalent to Saul. And Saul is another way of saying Paul, correct? So God can and does, and he has the ability to define when different phrases or different names are talking about the same person, place, or thing, right? We have a smart God. All right, so you get the point. Now, employing this very fundamental key to research, namely where it's been used before, let's examine the phrase, the Lord's Day. I think that's fair. Go to Revelation chapter 1 again, please. Now, when we look at the phrase, the Lord's Day, you will quickly find that the phrase, the Lord's Day, only appears one time in Scripture, in the New Testament. And where do you think that we will find this one occurrence? Yeah, we already read it. Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day. Now we got a problem. If the Lord's Day is synonymous with the first day of the week, then Scripture should support that theory. However, nowhere in the Bible is the first day of the week alluded to as the Lord's Day. As a matter of fact, the contrary is the fact. To conclude that the first day of the week, which we would call Sunday, was called the Lord's Day, has no supporting evidence in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the first day of the week in the New Testament is always called, guess what? The first day of the week. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, etc. Mark chapter 16, please. Verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Verse 2, Mark 16, 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. See it? Look at verse 9 of Mark 16. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, say it, Luke 24, please. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, John 21, 20, verse 1 says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, the same evening, being the first day of the week, where the doors were shut for the disciples for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. See? Acts chapter 20, please. Acts 20. So we looked at the Gospels, where Wikipedia said that the Lord's Day was synonymous with the first day of the week. But what's remarkable is that you don't see anywhere in the Scripture where it says the first day of the week being interpreted the Lord's Day, or you don't see anywhere in the Scripture where it says the first day of the week, which is also called the Lord's Day, or the first day of the week by interpretation the Lord's Day, or the first day of the week called the Lord's Day. Nowhere in Scripture does this appear. So one has to question, how do these people arrive at these conclusions? I said, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to have a cheeseburger. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please. Now concerning the collection for the saints, verse 1. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, etc. Nowhere in these verses, and again, you can look up more if you want to support this. It's very foundational and very solid. Nowhere in these verses do we read, which is called the Lord's Day, or by interpretation the Lord's Day, or called the Lord's Day. Now, if I'm going to assert that the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, I should be able to go to the Scripture and prove that theory, correct? Sure, you would think this. Is it not strange that in this one verse of Scripture regarding Revelation 1:10, where we read the Lord's Day, it is assumed to refer to the first day of the week? So sure are some commentators on their theory that they go as far to say that this particular day referred to in Revelation 1:10 was Easter Sunday. It is for this very reason Revelation 1 verses 10 through 19 was chosen in the new lectionary of the Church of England as a second lesson for Easter Sunday morning, because they're that positive that the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, Easter Sunday. Furthermore, there is no evidence that the first day of the week was ever called the Lord's Day before the book of Revelation was penned. And what was it? 90 or so AD it was written? I don't know. I guess that's debatable when John wrote it. If there was no evidence that the first day of the week was ever called the Lord's Day before the book of Revelation was written, why should it be called the Lord's Day after the book of Revelation was written? And why should it cease to be called by its biblical name, the first day of the week? This has all the markings of a rat in Denmark, as I would like to say it. Something's wrong somewhere. The so-called Greek fathers of the church of the first century were converts from paganism. It may be impossible to estimate just how many pagan rites and ceremonies they introduced into the early church. It was these so-called Greek church fathers who introduced, at the time of their conversion into Christianity, the word sun, S-U-N hyphen, day. This day was used before their conversion in the worship of their sun god. Justin Martyr, historian, Christian, writer, 114 to 165, writes in his second apology in defense of the Christian church with regards to this phrase, the Lord's Day, the weekly worship of the Christians on the day called Sunday. All who live in the country gather together at one place. Sunday, S-U-N hyphen D-A-Y, is the day on which we all hold our common assembly, because it is the first day on which God, having wrought a change in the darkness and matter, made the world, and Jesus, our Savior, on the same day arose from the dead. For he was crucified on the day before that of Saturn's day, and on the day after Saturn, which is the day of the sun, having appeared to his apostles and disciples, he taught them these things which we have submitted to you for your consideration. This is what he writes, but he writes it 100 and some years afterwards, where these church fathers have come in and have already brought their pagan rites and rituals in and ceremonies in, and have amalgamated, mixed everything together with the Christian religion, the Christian church. It is very suspect that we do not find any evidence of this so-called change from the Lord's Day to the first day of the week to Sunday, of the so-called change in name, until it's first mentioned in church history some 100 years later. That's when it first came on the scene. The Bible doesn't document the change. The Bible doesn't say it happened. It happened afterwards. Sunday, or what we call Sunday, the first day of the week that we're referring to now, because the Sabbath would have been Saturday, is really just a survival of a pagan name with a new meaning attached to it, derived from the misunderstanding of Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. To say that Sunday is equivalent with the Lord's Day, which is equivalent with the first day of the week, has no documenting evidence in Scripture. And we're concerned with the phrase, the Lord's Day. Because if you talk to most people, say, what's the Lord's Day? You know what they'll tell you? Sunday. But this is how they arrive at that. This is what they've been taught. You can't go any further than what you've been taught. So what have we seen so far? According to Wikipedia and other sources, remember I read to you that the Lord's Day was a traditional Christian name for Sunday, the first day of the Judeo-Christian seven-day week calendar. And it's observed by Christians as a memorial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then we looked in the Scripture at John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42, where we saw that if this was true, then God does have the ability and has used this principle before, where he shows in a verse or in the context of a verse that one term is equivalent with another. And we looked at some of those examples. One of the first one we looked at was Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We have that understanding in one verse. So it would be accurate for me to say Messiah is the Christ. God defines that for us. We also looked at another one of those examples in John 9:7, which was the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. So Siloam is synonymous with sent. Luke 2:4, city of David, which is called Bethlehem. City of David, synonymous, same thing as what? Bethlehem. John 11:16, Thomas, which is called Didymus. Thomas and Didymus, same person. Acts 13:9, Saul, who is also called Paul. See? We looked where if the Lord's day is in fact the first day of the week, then God could have explained that phrase to us. Then we saw, as they said, the first day of the week is equal to the Lord's day, that whenever the first day of the week is mentioned in the New Testament, it's always called what? The first day of the week. And you know what it's never called? Never? The Lord's day. Because the Lord's day only occurs once in the New Testament, and where do we find that was? Revelation 1:10. So you see, for me to say the Lord's day is the first day of the week, and that's what the Bible teaches, I don't have a foot to stand on, because the Bible doesn't back me up. And then we looked at some of the occurrences of the phrase, the first day of the week. Matthew 21:8, Mark 16, verses 1 and 2, Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week. Luke 21 or 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week. John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week, etc., etc., verse 19 of John 20. And yet, we saw that some commentators and these people who write these things are so sure that the first day of the week is synonymous with the Lord's day that the Church of England went as far in their new lectionary to set it as a second lesson for Easter Sunday morning, Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. And wouldn't that be a lovely thing that every week you got a little book that you got to open up to, and this is what you're going to teach the congregation on this week. Irregardless of what God says, if God would smack you upside the head and say, you need to teach these people this, or such and such is going on in the congregation and you need to address that, you just shut God right out. Because you know why? Because your little book says you got to teach chapter 1, verses 10 through 19 in the book of Revelation. Your little book says you got to teach magazine article such and such, or tape number such and such, or such and such. How ridiculous is that? So who's running the church? Is it God? No. You've already told God what you're teaching, and you say to him, bless it. I don't want to work by inspiration. I don't want to work by revelation. I don't want to work, let you work in my heart to address to the people what needs to be addressed. I can't talk to them about that because I'm teaching Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. Don't you know I worked on it all week? And you want me to just throw it away? I got some really great examples, right? That's not smart. We also saw that there is no evidence that the first day of the week was ever called the Lord's Day before the book of Revelation was written. And logically, if that is true from the scriptures, then why should it be called the Lord's Day after the book of Revelation was written, unless the book of Revelation would tell us that fact? And you want to know something? You know what Revelation 1, verse 10 does not say? I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which is the first day of the week. Or I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, called the first day of the week. Or by interpretation, the first day of the week. See, I may not know the Greek and Hebrew, but I know that's what it doesn't say. Right? Sure, it's right. So why should it be called the Lord's day after the book of Revelation is written, especially when the book of Revelation does not direct that? Then we saw that the Greek church fathers were converts from paganism. And it would really be impossible to estimate just how many pagan rites and ceremonies they introduced into the early church. because there's so much in Christianity today, from the first to the third to the fourth century, that we count as truth and never question, that was never in the original teaching of Jesus Christ or the original disciples and apostles. Just not. It was these church, Greek church fathers who introduced, when they were born again, the word Sunday, sun-day. This day was used before their conversion in worship of the sun god. And then I read to you out of Justin Martyr's Second Apology, who wrote this particular section and during this particular period of time, 114 AD to 165 AD. And it is there where we have the first hints of the Lord's Day being associated with the first day of the week, or the Lord's Day being associated with Sunday. But this is some 100 years after the scriptures. It first enters in to the scene, you understand? After these church fathers had their chance to be converted and to mix in their pagan beliefs with the Christian church. Now all of a sudden, we have terms and phrases that start to pop up that we, many thousands of years later, accept as gospel, accept as biblical. I also said that it was very suspect that we don't find any evidence of this so-called change in name until it's first mentioned in church history some 100 years later. Sunday is really just a survival of a pagan name with a new meaning attached to it, derived from a misunderstanding of Revelation 1, verse 10. Having said that, we are still faced with the question, what is the Lord's Day? And in order to biblically present to you what exactly the phrase the Lord's Day is, we're going to have to go into the Old Testament where its first usage occurs. And we'll do that in part two of this teaching. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love. Thanks for your logic and simplicity of it, that we could be so blessed, Father, and thankful that you would open your truth to us in such simplicity and logic that even the simplest of minds, such as myself, could understand the great truth that you have for us. Thank you, Father, for each person here. Thanks for each person that will hear this tape throughout the next weeks and months, that it would shore up their understanding and biblical foundation of the truth of what you have to present, and that we're not carried away of traditions and teachings of men, Father, but we stand on the accuracy of your rightly divided word. We're grateful for this and for the man who made all this available to us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in our Lord Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.